Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn the Page, Season 4, Book 13 of Twistaplot, Midnight at Monster Mansion. Are you ready to mash?
I can't. Reader.
You can't
mash? You seen this cover?
It's pretty
I can't mash
scary.
With these bad boys. There's a Frankenstein, there's a vampire, yep. There's an eagle.
And there's Eminem in the upper
Eminem.
Right.
The ghostly apparition of Eminem.
Yeah, both M and M apparitions mm-hmm. of each.
Mars and Mars, both here, turning up in full force.
Yeah, but there's some Party City looking villains on this cover for sure.
Mm-hmm.
it reminds me of a simpler Halloween time, like when I was a kid, and this was like, these look like the people that would open the door, you know, on Halloween. Mm-hmm. It does, and it's just kind of nice. And then there's the guy making the Igor making the face who just looks like a kind of just like a creepy guy. That's just a man. That's just a man. You're like, no, I don't want to talk about your interests. Thank you. He's like, why not?
Sometimes on Halloween, you're scared by a ghost. Sometimes it's a vampire. Sometimes it's a Frankenstein. And sometimes it's just a creepy guy.
Honestly, just a creepy guy is genuinely so much scarier. Than a Frankenstein or anything like that. Just someone. If someone was on the street and they looked at me the way that this Igor was looking at me, it would scare me more than if I saw a for real Frankenstein. He's and it's not close.
This is peering out the corner of someone's eye with your tongue out and bitten off to the side. That's someone imagining the feel. And texture of your cheeks in their mouth. Like, that person is like, I would eat that person's face. That is a I'm going to eat your face look if I've ever seen one.
I think so. And then there's just a guy getting out of... Oh, hold on. These are very giant... These are very giant Frankensteins and vampires. Because there's just a guy getting out of a good old car, standing by the gargoyles. This just looks like such a good, classic, simple theme book. Midnight at Monster Mansion. What else do you need? It's just like, hello, this is a horror book. Which flavor? Yeah, horror book.
It is. all of the characters from The Monster Mash, actually. It's all of them.
Yeah. They did the mash. It was a graveyard bash. The craziest thing to think about is, like, there's a whole song about the Monster Mash, which in my head I'm like, so that song is the Monster Mash, but it can't be because it's referencing the Monster Mash. So, like, how much of a banger is the actual Monster Mash, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like how Tribute is not the greatest song in the world. It's just a tribute to the greatest song in the world. This is just a recounting of the Monster Mash. This is someone's extemporaneous report of it.
Yeah, they did the mash. It was a graveyard bash. What does it sound like? Do you think it's good? What do you think the genre is? Techno?
It's got to be techno.
Yeah, okay. Me too. All right, down we'll go, taking a little detour to the dedication page. To Daniel, the little monster in our mansion. That's the sweetest one so far. The other ones were like... A little pointed. This one's just a sweet little thing.
To Leo Gregory, who said I'd never make it. What now, Leo? Are you ready to be beworn?
Almost. To Jason, who still has my copy of Luigi's Mansion.
I never forgot, Jason. You thought I did. I didn't.
It's getting up there in price. I'm going, I look at eBay, I'm like, maybe I should get that. I want to play it. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's still not. Maybe I could have, if I just had it, I wouldn't have to pay these exorbitant prices.
I swat watching your eBay account, because if you ever sell that,
I will
I'm
sell
be
you.
Real mad.
All right, beware me.
Beware. Don't read this book from beginning to end. You are about to enter a house of countless horrors where your worst nightmares will come true.
Mm-hmm.
Read the directions at the bottom of the cage. Cage at the page, rather, carefully. Take your time before turning each page. A different terror lurks behind every door and in each shadow. The slightest misstep can mean instant death, or worse. But don't despair. If you're clever, courageous, or just plain lucky, you may survive the long dark night of this house and the monsters and see the light of day once more. So take a deep breath and brace yourself for what's ahead. Bloodthirsty vampires, howling werewolves, powerful zombies, and Frankenstein's monster himself await your arrival.
Gone to page two. Instant death, or worse. Not as instant death.
Yeah, legitimately.
Pretty much. That's the thing that comes to my mind.
If I'm going, I don't want to know.
Yeah. Just boom, take me. On page two. What a great vacation. You've been visiting some friends who have a summer house at the beach. The beach. And now you're driving home in your father's new sports car, which he finally agreed to lend you for the trip. It's a long drive and you decide to try a shortcut on a back road. Bad decision. Soon, you're hopelessly lost. You look for a place to stop and ask directions, but there's not a house or building in sight. It's not your only problem. You've been listening to the radio when you should have been paying attention to the gas gauge. Oh, dough. The needle's on empty. Will you make it to the gas station before you run out? Your chances don't look good. All at once, you hear a deep rumble in the sky. Of course, you look up and see a storm clouds gathering overhead. That's all you need. To be stranded in the middle of nowhere's bad enough, but in a thunderstorm, you begin to wish you'd stayed on the main highway. Better to get home an hour later than not get there at all, you think to yourself, as the first raindrops hit the car roof. Turn to page four. If we didn't have the most stereotypical, like, book in mind from the cover, as far as horror situation, this page, vacation, visiting friends, summer house at the beach, but we're caught up on the way, renting a car from a parent, taking the back road, get lost, run out of gas, raining, thunderstorm. It's just so, it's all there.
It has the perfect setup for the scene that happens in all of these movies of someone underestimating the horror and going, no, but I can't wreck my dad's sports car. And then the horror reveals itself to be even greater.
Yep.
That also sets you up for a really good post-credit scene where the dad looks at the wrecked car and is like, ah!
Jason Gagnier!
And also will return in 2025, sorry?
Yeah. It was crazy how they set up Endgame in just like a random horror movie in the 80s. It was like everyone at that point was like, what the hell are you talking about? Thanos will return. And then he did.
It was directed by Nostradamus.
Nosferatu Damus, is this anything? Anyways, page four. Suddenly, you see a house up ahead on the right. It is a large ramshackle mansion. Set on a hill, get this, if you could imagine. It's dark and gloomy, and it looks about 100 years old. It reminds you of a house that you saw in a horror movie on the Late Late Show last week. A flash of lightning crackles above the mansion, bathing the house in an eerie glow. You feel cold shivers run down your spine. You don't like the idea of going up to the house, but you also don't want to spend the night in your father's car during a thunderstorm. If someone is home at the house, you can ask to use the phone and call a gas station for help. Then again, if there's one house, maybe you'll pass more houses, ones that look a little bit less creepy. That is, if you don't run out of gas first. What are you going to do? You better make up your mind quickly. The driveway to the mansion is coming up fast, and you surely can't stop to think about it.
Of course not.
If you decide to keep going and take your chances on the road, turn to page 87. If you choose to stop and see if anyone's home, page 6.
Do we even want to try 87 so the book says, you dummy, what are you doing going away from the Haunted Mansion? Do you not like fun?
I would love it if on page 6 it was just a different mansion. And if on 87 we keep going to the actual Haunted Mansion. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's hit 87.
Let's hit 87 for a quick demise. Because, like, surely. You pass the driveway and continue down the road in the pouring rain, and you wonder how many more miles you can cover before the car conks out. Suddenly, you see a sign by the roadside that says gas and food 1 mile ahead. You breathe a deep sigh of relief and think how smart you were to not stop at the old mansion. As you dream about the juicy cheeseburger and chocolate shake that you're going to order when you stop, you round a sharp curve and skid ahead into a 10-ton truck coming the other way. Too bad you're never going to taste that cheeseburger. The end. That has nothing to do with our decision. That is not the way. DM, this is railroading.
Well, if you just went the way I wanted you to, I wouldn't have to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't talk to this character in the bar. Okay, so you walk outside and you trip over and die. Roll up a new character.
Yeah, roll up a new character. One that has, you know, an easier time taking hints.
Yeah. take the feet, read the room. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Take the feet. You know, I spent 3 hours prepping this, so at least humor me a little bit. Like, take the I get that that's technically funny, but nobody else thought it was, and please help me. I don't know what to do if we get beyond this city.
That's more of a feat name for Monster of the Week.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Back to page 6 it is. I mean, that other one, it was a quick demise, just not in the way that I thought at all.
Mm.
You drive up the long, twisting driveway. The house looks even creepier up close. The worn shutters are all closed, but you can see the light downstairs. Someone must be home. You park the car and carefully lock it.
Your father would kill you if anything happened to it.
Slowly, you walk up the front porch steps. They squeak noisily under your feet. You feel your courage draining away, but you raise your fist and rap loudly on the door. There's a long silence. You knock again. You can hear your heart beating wildly under the noise of the rain and the thunder. Finally, you hear footsteps approaching. The door swings open, and a short, stocky man in a butler's uniform stands before you. He's unshaven. His hair's long and scraggly. And you can't help but notice he has a hunchback. He looks you up and down with beady brown eyes.
Well?
He says in a low, gruff voice.
It's about time you got here.
You take a step back, startled. This butler is obviously mistaken you for somebody else.
Don't just stand there, fool.
He exclaims impatiently.
Come in. The master is waiting.
Go to page 7. If the master looks anything like his servant, you could do without meeting him. But it's cold and damp out there in the rain, and behind the butler you can see a warm, inviting fire. Should you accept the invitation or run for your car and take your chances on the road ahead? If you go into the house, page 5. If you run to your car, page 8.
Nah, this guy's scary. Let's go to our car.
Okay, yeah. Let's say no. I do not want to pick up the call to adventure. I have phone anxiety. You mumble something to the hunchback about having the wrong address and turn away from the door. Without looking back, you run through the teeming rain to your car. You fish through your pockets for the keys, and oh no, they're not there. You stare through the car window and see them in the ignition still. You've locked yourself out. What a klutz! As you start down the long driveway to the main road, you curse yourself for not having an umbrella. It's going to be a wet walk to the next town. Happy hitchhiking. The end. I mean, we're alive. That's honestly...
Yeah, exactly. We haven't gotten taken out by a 10-ton truck.
That's kind of a success, I will say. But
legitimately.
Let's go to 5. Look, for real. You give the hunchback your brightest, bravest smile and step inside. The main hall is filled with heavy, old-fashioned furniture. You notice cobwebs everywhere, but the fire is warm, and that's the important thing.
Wait here,
says the hunchback, closing the door. In a moment, a tall, distinguished-looking gentleman in a black cape and evening clothes enters with the servant.
Ah.
He says in a thick foreign accent.
You're here at last. I trust your drive was not too difficult. I am Dr. Alucard, and this is my servant, Igor.
Igor? It figures, right out of an old horror movie. And Alucard? That name sounds familiar, too.
Please, take off your jacket, and I will bring you to the patient at once. We have no time to lose.
Alucard says. Patient? You thought he was the doctor. Not that he looks like one. Maybe it's time that you told these people just who you really are before you get in deep trouble. Of course, they may throw you back out in the storm if you do. If you decide to set this Alucard character straight right now, turn to page 9. If you decide to play along a little while longer, turn to page 11. Correct Dracula or not? That is the question.
Nah, he's not Dracula.
That's true. He's Dr. Acula.
Look, if he was... Yeah, exactly. If he was Dracula, he'd be Dr. Acula, but he's Dr. Alucard. It's true, Alucard means nothing like Dracula.
Yep.
I've read his name back to front, and I'm not seeing anything.
yep. It's just like Ekans is nothing like a snake. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's bold. I think it's very bold of Pokemon to have two characters, two Pokemon in the canon whose name is just backwards. I can't believe they did it twice for both Ekans and Mach.
if you decide to set the Alucard character straight right now, turn to page 9. If you decide to play it long a little while, longer, turn to page 11.
I think we should probably go to page 11.
Yeah, I think so too.
We've tried not playing along. Let's try playing along.
You decide to keep your true identity a secret for a while longer and follow Dr. Dr. Alucard.
Well, here it is. It has started going on the blink since last afternoon, and it has not been the same since.
Dr. Alucard is pointing to a large television set. The TV is the patient, and you've been mistaken for the television repair person. Alucard begins to eye you suspiciously for the first time.
You can fix it, can't you?
He asks.
Sure,
you say. You're in too deep to tell the truth now. You turn on the set, trying to act as professional as possible.
Look at the colors,
says Alucard.
Do you not find them a bit odd?
You stare at the small screen. The bright colors are swirling around like the colored bits of glass in a kaleidoscope. Red's the color of blood, vivid greens, disturbing dark blues. Round and round the colors is what makes the dark blues disturbing. What?
I don't like
him. I don't like that. Ah, blood red. Ooh, a vivid green. Ooh, disturbing dark blue. Okay. Sure. Round and round the colors go, hypnotizing you. You feel your will being sucked right out of your body. You want to tear your eyes away from the diabolical patterns. Ooh, and that disturbing dark blue. But you can't. Out of the corner of your eye, you spy an ashtray. If you continue to watch the set, turn to page 88. If you grab the ashtray to smash the screen, turn to page 21.
I mean, we know we're being hypnotized here. We're not just in suspicion of it. It says hypnotizing you, you feel your will being sucked from your body, the diabolical patterns. We've gotta crack it.
Sure, that can't go poorly. Let's smash it. Let's do a monster smash. Let's break Dracula's TV. That'll go well. You seize the ashtray in your trembling hand and raise it, but before you can hurl it at the evil screen, the colors disappear and an unearthly glow fills the tube. The screen sends out blinding rays of light that freeze you mid-motion. Every muscle in your body's paralyzed. You raise your hand. Your raised hand quivers and you drop the ashtray against your will. With horror, you feel your whole body being drawn towards the glowing screen. A terrible, tingling sensation comes over you. You want to scream, but you can't move your mouth. You feel as if every molecule in your body is disintegrating, and suddenly you open your eyes. You see Alucard and Igor standing several feet away, staring down at you. Their bodies are strangely distorted, as if you were looking at them through a mirror or a piece of warped glass. Alucard moves towards you. His hand reaches down for the off button of the TV set. Only then do you realize why everything looks so strange. You are in the TV set! No way! As Alucard pushes the button, your entire universe goes black. You're a prisoner inside the television, forever trapped, forever looking out at reality, happy viewing the end. Okay.
Mom, I'm on TV!
We're something-something favorite TV show. That's what they usually say. It is a frequent fail state in these books to be sucked into a TV, is it not? It's come up a handful of times, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It feels like something was in the zeitgeist around that period of time.
Yeah. 88 instead, then. Let's just be hypnotized. That's the plan.
Let's do it.
The terrible colors from the screen seem to be swirling around your head, your body swaying from side to side. You swing your hips from side to side. You feel Alucard taking your hand in his warm one.
Come, my friend.
He says gently.
You don't look well. Perhaps you should lie down for a while.
You want to say that you're not... You want to say that you're not his friend, but you can't seem to get your lips to form the words.
Yeah, I feel that.
Oh. Instead, you nod tipsily as he leads you from the den to a hall where a long staircase looms darkly before you. That is the last thing you remember before you lose consciousness. Turn to page 25, fast! You are not my friend, Dracula.
I'd be friends with Dracula. Yeah,
why not? You wake up in darkness, you're lying on a small bed, and your head is throbbing with pain. How long have you been out? You look out the window by your bed and see it's still night, but the storm has passed. You get up and are relieved to find that only your head is in bad shape. The rest of you seems to be intact. You cross to a wall and feel your way along until you come to a door. Try the knob and find it unlocked. Just then you hear footsteps approaching. You step back in fear. The footsteps draw closer. Is it Alucard coming to get you? There's no telling what the madman will do to you next. What did he do to us?
Some sort of hypnotism?
And then he brought us the bed where we could... I mean, we don't know. It seems
to sleep
like,
it off, yeah.
It seems fine. Seems fine so far, but...
There's no telling what he'll do next with a pattern like that. He hypnotizes you, and then he gives you a nice place to stay?
It is true. If anything, that is an unpredictable pattern, for sure, I guess.
Keeps him real off guard.
Yeah. Here, eat this cookie. Slap. Oh! What are you doing, Dracula? You rush back to the window and open it. The roof slants down below you. It's a long drop to the ground, but you can hide on the roof until Alucard and his servant get tired of looking for you. Later, you can make your escape from inside. The footsteps are nearly at your door. If you decide to climb out the window, page 89. If you decide to wait and see, if the footsteps go past your door, page 39.
I mean, it does feel like 89 will just be another ending, but 88 also kicked us back here, so...
It's true. I'd say trying to escape through the window right now is far too early of a... successful escape for the storyline. Mm-hmm. So I
could see it taking you on an alternate path where now you have to interact with the werewolf in the woods or something like that.
True. Well, I want to be in the monster mansion.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay here and head to 39, hoping that the footsteps just pass our door.
Yeah. You wait and listen, holding your breath. The footsteps are directly outside your door. They pause for a moment, and then they continue on. You let out a long sigh of relief, you wait for the footsteps to fade away, and then you open the door very cautiously and look down the darkened hall. There's not a soul in sight. You quietly step... Ooh, not even me, boo. Alright, sorry. You quietly step out in the hall and walk down towards a staircase. If you can get to the main hall without being seen, there's a good chance you can find an open door and escape. Just then, you hear a sound coming from behind a door along the hallway. Sounds like someone crying. You stop to listen. Whoever it is sounds very unhappy, but is it any of your concern when your own life might be in danger? If you decide to investigate, page 31. If you decide to save your own skin and get down the stairs, 83.
How often do these books typically reward us for being selfish?
Not very often. Well, more than you'd think, actually.
Yeah, exactly. You thought you could have been nice? Well, it's a ghost and it eats you. Like, I'm not worried that it'll be that, and I do feel like it is almost our duty to investigate at this point, and we are more and more picking up the call of adventure.
Yeah, let's let the book betray us.
Exactly.
I don't want to...
You betray me first, coward.
Yeah, do it, coward. How dare you betray me? You go to the door where the crying is coming from and try the doorknob, and it's locked.
Who is it?
Whispers a frightened voice through the door.
A friend.
You reply.
Please, get me out of here before he comes back.
That's all you needed to hear. You brace your shoulder and throw your weight against the door, and the old lock breaks away and the door swings open. Standing there is a boy about your age. He is thin and he's weak.
How did you get here?
You ask.
Alucard called the charity I work for, and he said he wanted to make a contribution. I came here and was drugged with a drink. I've been his prisoner in this room ever since. My name's Chris.
Now I see why he called for a TV repairman.
You say?
He wanted another victim. And mistook me for him.
Unlucky for you,
says Chris grimly.
You know what he has in mind for us, don't you? Alucard's gonna use our bodies in his experiments. He's got this monster he's building in the dungeon in the basement. He's almost finished. All he needs is a brain and a heart. That's where we come in.
Turn to page 93. Suddenly, you don't feel so well. Suddenly.
He told me his whole mad scheme. No, we felt fine the entire way through being hypnotized and through hiding in this mansion.
And having our head hurt. We felt well. He told me his whole mad scheme, continues Chris.
As soon as he finds a proper brain to go with the heart, Alucard's gonna start operating. And I have a feeling that you've been elected.
I'm not all that smart.
You say, suddenly wishing you were a lot dumber.
The only way for us to stop him is to get into the laboratory and destroy everything.
Says your new friend.
Now that you've freed me from this room, we can do it. Together.
You shake your head.
I think we should just worry about getting out of this place alive.
You say?
Once we're safe, we can tell the police everything. They'll be better able to handle Alucard than we could.
No!
Exclaims Chris.
We've got to stop him now!
If you go along with Chris's plan, turn to page 68. If you insist on getting out of the mansion first, turn to page 82.
Let the book betray us. Let it ride, buddy. Let's go, Chris.
I'm just going through all of the different, like, monster names in my head. Like, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a pun that I am not thinking of? Kris Kringle! It's Santa!
Oh, get him!
Book him!
He's got gifts!
A likely story. 68.
I suppose it is our duty to stop Alucard's plan.
You say?
All right, lead the way.
Chris takes you up a rickety, narrow staircase to the attic and a large room with a skylight. Test tubes and glass beakers filled with brightly colored chemicals line one wall. In the center of the room is a raised platform with a crank.
That's where Alucard will raise the monster to revive him with lightning from the storm.
Explains Chris.
That is correct, Chris.
Says a familiar voice from across the room.
Too bad that neither of you will be around to see it.
You both turn and stare into the smiling face of Dr. Alucard. Igor is blocking the door that you just came through.
So, you two have met,
says the doctor.
How very nice. It is only proper since you will be sharing an operating table.
Run!
I do have to ask the elephant in the room here. Why? In the intro, it said it was Frankenstein's monster.
Mm-hmm.
Is his name Frankenstein Alucard? Or what's going on here?
yeah, it's hyphenated, but on a lot of his forms he only uses Alucard.
Yeah.
Or he's working under a nom de plume at the moment.
Yeah, because...
Alternatively, one of the other paths would actually encounter a Frankenstein's monster. And this
that is true.
Igor and the vampire path.
Yeah, this is Alucard's monster. Yep. All right, you two have met. Says the doctor...
How very nice. It is only proper since you will be sharing an operating table.
Run!
Chris cries, and you do. But the only place to run is a wall. You bump into two switches. One's red, the other's blue.
Pull the switch!
Cries your friend.
It shuts up the lights!
Fine, you think to yourself, but which is the right switch? If you pull the red... Great. The red switch, page 73. Blue, 81.
Simply make a good decision. Forehead.
Just make a good decision, forehead. Red is off in my head.
Which generation did you play for the first Pokemon?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember as much what I played first. Actually, I think I played Yellow first, unfortunately. But the one I played the most was Blue.
Let's go to Blue, because I mean, maybe I played Red a bunch for the possibility of going... No, we don't need to justify it in that way. We can literally just take the other option and sum the point.
Yeah, this is not a... They did not ask which Pokemon game. That was a question you asked. It's not...
Fine, then I will reveal that I only played Blue.
Oh, well, I can reveal that I did play all three of them, so... Bada bing, bada boom. If the book did ask,
I did that for the next generation. That was my experience with them.
Crystal is super good. I love
Crystal. Was incredible.
I loved it. I played it until the battery of the actual cartridge burnt out. It made me sad.
Written on Bunway Wet.
Yeah. The lights go off. I think that's good. You're lost in the darkness. Someone cries out, and you feel a hand take yours and pull you across the floor. In a few moments, you are in the hallway. Chris, who is holding your hand, lets go of it. Together, you run down the staircase and out the front door. Your car is still sitting in the gravel driveway. You fumble in your pocket for the keys.
Hurry!
Cries Chris. You find the keys and open both doors. As you slip the key in the ignition, you see Igor bounding at the front door of the mansion. You turn the key, but the engine won't start.
What's the matter?
Asks Chris, sounding very nervous.
It's low on gas.
You explain and try and start the car again. Igor's coming straight for you with a large wooden club, and he means business. If you know something about cars, turn to page 72. If you don't know a stick shift from an emergency brake, turn to page 58. I do know a stick shift from an emergency brake. I don't know.
That's exactly the thing, right? Like, we run into a conundrum here, which is I don't think I know anything about cars. I can't drive. I don't intend to be able to at any point. But... I do know a stick shift from an emergency brake. I do have eyes. Mm. I also guess I know other things about cars. Most often, they have four wheels, sometimes five in the case of a Jeep. Sometimes three in the case of very specific triangular models of car that were popular in, well, not especially popular, but available in Britain.
And sometimes two if it's a motorcycle car.
Sometimes two if it's a motor car.
And one if it's the funny unicycle.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we know too many things about cars, frankly. We are both mechanics.
Uh-huh.
Let's head over to page 72.
To 72. This time, the engine starts up like a dream. You floor the gas pedal, and the car shoots down the driveway, throwing gravel into the air. You look into the rearview mirror as Igor. He's jumping up and down, beating his club on the driveway. You can't help but laugh at the sight of him.
What's so funny?
Asks Chris. You're laughing too hard to answer. The end. What?
Okay.
That's a success. Oh, that car knowledge is really paid off.
Yeah. It doesn't really tie anything up. Like, this is how he escaped. This doesn't feel like the end.
No. This is, you got away. Smile. It's like, that's it.
All right. Well, maybe we don't know anything about cars.
Let's see what happens if we don't know anything about cars, and then maybe we'll find a more fulfilling end somewhere else. The engine revs loudly, and you... This is 58.
Yes.
The engine revs loudly, and you shift into drive, but the car does not move.
What's the matter now?
Cries Chris as Igor circles around the front of the car, waving his club menacingly.
I don't know!
You exclaim. You fumble madly with all the dials and knobs on the dashboard in your frenzy. You turn on the windshield wipers, the radio, and the air conditioner, but still, the car won't move. Igor's right on top of you now. He's climbed out of the hood of the car, and he raises his club before his head, and all at once, you look down and realize that you've forgotten to release the emergency brake. As you reach down to do this, Igor brings his club down on the windshield. Smash! It shatters into 1,000 pieces. He reaches into the car with a large, hairy hand and grasps you by the throat. It looks as if you're not gonna go anywhere tonight after all. The end. No cars, stupid. That's what this says.
Is it red button, blue button, and then before that is just don't help Chris?
I think so.
Our branching paths from here?
So let's see what happens if we hit what is going to be the wrong switch. Here, you don't even have to come with me on page 73.
I believe that is.
Too bad, wrong switch. The red switch sets off a charge of dynamite underneath the foundation of the mansion, blowing the entire building sky high, lab and all, happy landing, the end. Honestly, we did the world a service. Not a bad end.
Yeah, exactly.
We're heroes.
Also, why did he rig his entire lab dynamite? Press my lab secret self-destruct button.
You don't have the two switches right by each other on the wall. Like that I always get confused, like, oh, shoot, is it the left or the right switch that turns on the one in the living room, and which one turns on the one in the hallway? You know, that thing that I get confused on all the time? You have the lights and then the dynamite underneath the foundation of the mansion blowing up the whole building sky. High switch.
Mm-hmm.
Right by each other.
Quite literally, I imagine it's very easy to just fumble around in the dark going, oh, light switch.
I know, that's the thing. It's when it's relevant, it's when the lights are off. It's
okay. You can tell them apart by color at that point.
All right. So 82 is meeting Chris and saying, no, I don't want to stop Dr. Alucard.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. All right, 82. You just want to get out of this creepy mansion.
I'm sorry, but that's way too risky.
You insist. Chris sees that you don't want to bother destroying Alucard's monster. Okay, so it is Alucard's monster.
Exactly, the M in monster here is capitalized, so it is a Frankenstein's monster of Alucard's monster. It's Alucard's Frankenstein.
Alucard's Frankenstein's monster. The monster formerly known as Frankenstein's monster.
It's Tyler Perry presents Alucard's Frankenstein's monster.
All right.
Your friend says, friend? Really?
We just met. This is very forward.
It's very forward. We didn't want to be friends with Dracula, and he's got a sick mansion. Let's get out of here. Wait, no. Your friend says reluctantly.
We'll do it, Yuri. Let's get out of here.
You two sneak out of the room and down the stairs. You get out the front door without being seen and jump into the car. There's just enough gas in the tank to get you to a police station 5 miles down the road. The two of you tell the officer on duty your amazing story. He seems doubtful, but agrees to send a squad car out to investigate Alucard's mansion. Oh my god. The police discover Alucard's laboratory and the remains of several quote-unquote guests used in his experiments. That's messed up. The mad doctor and his servant are arrested for arresting Dracula! And the mansion is...
We know about Stanx, we know about Golic, we know about Sunlight, we know about mirrors.
Have we tried jail? Handcuffs?
Have we tried jail? The mad doctor and his servant are arrested for murder, and the mansion is closed down. It's closed. His home is closed. You and Chris are heroes. Chris? Chris is a...
Yep.
Chris? When your mother sees your picture on the front page of the morning paper, she actually waits 2 minutes before yelling at you for staying out late, not cleaning your room, and forgetting your homework. The end.
Incredible end. Great end.
Wow.
Woo! Two minutes of solace, baby.
It is a better one. Okay. So what was... I'm struggling to figure out where the freaking branching paths were at this point. There's so much book here. How do we get to it?
Let's climb out the window.
Is that on 89? We did 83 is something.
83?
Running down the stairs. What?
I haven't.
Let me see. 30.
Not familiar with that one.
Oh, that 83 is not going to meet our quote unquote friend. We hear the screaming and we say no, and we leave.
Ah, right. So we've already left our room at this point.
Yeah, this is leaving our room, hearing the screaming and crying and going, nah, I don't care.
Okay.
You run down the stairs directly into the arms of Igor. Good start.
There you are,
cries the hunchback.
I was just coming to get you. The master is waiting. Dinner is ready.
Dinner? Is this another trick? You have little time to think it over as Igor escorts you to the dining room.
Ah, my friend.
But you haven't made a we're having you for dinner pun yet.
We've got time,
exclaims Dr. Alucard.
I am so sorry that you are a bit under the weather, but we tried to make you more comfortable until the effects wore off.
You mumble something in reply, unable to trust your hosts or anything he says.
I've called the local garage, and someone should be here shortly to see to your car,
continues Alucard.
In the meantime, I insist that you join me for dinner.
You sit down and think maybe that your host is not that bad of a guy after all. Igor places a soup plate. Soup? That's not for soup.
yeah. Just tongue that plate for a while, why don't you, buddy?
That's,
Hey,
plate not for soup. Plate not for soup. Soup for bowl. Soup for bowl.
Plate for me!
Soup plate. Igor places a soup plate in front of you. It looks weird, you don't say. It has a funny smell.
It's homemade spider soup,
explains the hunchback proudly.
I made it myself. Eat it before it cools, but save some room for the salamander casserole. It's my specialty.
You force a smile and pick up your spoon. It wouldn't do at all to insult your host and his cook. And you know what? The spider soup isn't too bad. The end. Good end. In this end, they're just not evil.
In this end, we get two friends.
Yeah.
That's one more friend than any of the other ends.
And soup plate.
Mm.
One whole plate
of
soup.
It is worth noting, though, we do sit down and decide, maybe this guy isn't that bad after all, immediately after hearing screaming upstairs.
Yeah. Ah, that's nothing. Like, it also makes you think, like, God, he really hates Chris. Because for us, we got spider soup and salamander casserole, which apparently I think are well-intentioned meals. And Dracula calls us a tow truck? Like, I mean, that's poor Chris. What did he do?
I have no clue.
One
of these other paths holds his betrayal. Wait, hang on. I found No, I haven't.
89 is the last page that we have that's a choice. Let's see. Starts with, you decide not to wait around. Oh, okay. This is, we're at the door. We wake up the next, well, I guess the same night. Either the same night or a different night. And we hear footsteps outside. And, okay.
Oh, so this is climbing outside. Yes, this is this one.
Yes. Okay, that's
this
what it
feels
is.
Like this branches out into a much larger path.
Yeah, maybe. Let's run this one to its first end and we'll see what's up.
Let's do it.
Or first, like, logical end. You decide not to wait around to see who the mysterious footsteps belong to, so you climb out of the window and onto the roof. It's made of old wooden shingles that are cracked and broken. You walk carefully, watching your balance and avoiding the broken shingles. If you slip on one, it could be the end of you. As you approach the edge of the roof, you suddenly stop short. And there, against the moonlight, is the shadow of a person. The moonlight? The full moonlight? It seems that you're not alone on this roof. Could it be Igor or Alucard looking for you? You make a nervous movement. Your foot kicks a shingle loose. It slides off the roof and clatters on the ground below. The shadow turns quickly at the noise. It's moving towards you. What now? If you want to see who the shadow belongs to, turn to page 26. If you'd rather not know and want to go back inside, page 47. Which, notably, is a different page than anything we had.
We climb outside and then climb immediately back inside.
And it's just a different reality. All right. Do we want to see what it is?
Yeah, who is this shadowy figure?
Ooh, indeed.
Which page is that on?
26. You decide to remain on the roof to find out who this mysterious shadow figure is. From out of the darkness steps a nondescript man. He seems startled as to see you there as you see him. Wait, as startled to see you there as you are to see him. He says nervously.
I thought I was alone.
What are you doing here?
You ask him.
I often come out here to be myself. It's so peaceful and quiet. Are you a new patient of Dr. Alucard's?
No.
You explain.
I just came here to get help with my car. Alucard is actually holding me prisoner.
You expect the man to react with surprise, but he merely just smiles.
You really shouldn't worry.
He says.
The doctor knows what's best. I have my complete confidence he'll cure me of my problem any day now.
Just what is your problem?
You ask. This fellow doesn't look sick at all.
It's, rather embarrassing.
He says, lowering his voice.
You see, I turn into a werewolf every full moon.
It's so forward. You follow his gaze and notice a bright full moon hanging in the sky. If you don't believe in werewolves, turn to page 45. If you do believe in werewolves, turn to page 52. I do have to be honest. I don't.
Yeah, neither.
But
also, to be clear, this man is standing in the full moonlight of a full moon. Is like, yeah, every full moon I turn into a werewolf. Just talking in his normal, regular-ass human voice. His name is David. He works in accounts. Like, I don't believe you.
Yeah,
liar.
All right, liar. I don't believe.
Prove it. Prove it. Bite me.
Prove it. Bite me. Yeah, let's go to 45.
Prove.
Let's get bitten. Your new acquaintance flings his head back and begins to howl at the moon. You jump back to the other side of the roof and wait for a terrible transformation to begin, but nothing happens. He continues to howl, but doesn't grow a single hair on his body.
Some werewolf,
you say to yourself. You're a little ashamed you're afraid of him at all. You leave this man to his howling and cross the roof to find some way to get to the ground in your car. Oh yeah!
You just walk away from him. He's still howling.
Hello. Yeah, you're on the roof yelling down. Oh yeah, you're a werewolf. Show me. And he just sits there. Okay, bye. It's so good. When you circle back to the mansion, you see a strange sight below on the back lawn. Alucard and Igor are carrying a coffin towards a small graveyard behind the house. What are they up to? If you want to investigate further, turn to page 54. If getting out is more important. Turn to 59.
So
we have not been.
I'm gonna put my cards on the table. I know that 59 is an end because I saw it as we were going past it earlier, but I think we should check out 59. We shouldn't treat it as the end to this path, but
sure.
It's interesting.
All right. You'd rather beat it than find out what Alucard and Igor are up to this time. You find a drain pipe on the side of the house. Hold on for dear life. You begin to shimmy down slowly, but the pipe is old, and your weight is more than it can hold. It breaks off the house and comes crashing down to the ground. You might have survived if you landed on the soft, wet grass, but unfortunately your head hits an ancient tombstone on the edge of the graveyard. Thus this story comes to a painful end. Rest in peace. Well, dang.
Know the end.
Know the end.
Just rest in peace.
You died. Dark Souls. Like,
we die in a lot of these, and they still say the end. This is the only one that we rest in peace.
Enjoy
this
hell.
This might be the ultimate good ending.
Yeah, wait, we found peace? That's amazing.
None of the other ones gave me peace.
Yeah, they just said, clean your room. Yeah, and stuff like that. So, all right, 54. Let's go see the good ending or whatever from this path. You're anxious to know who or what Alucard and Igor have in the coffin. It's a zombie. As quietly as possible, you climb down the thick ivy that grows on the back wall of the mansion. You drop to the ground with a thud, but Alucard and Igor are too far away to hear the noise. You creep across the backyard to the small cemetery to find out what the two are doing. You plan a diversion. Discord noise gate, maybe? Ow, you cry from behind a thick bush, imitating the howling of your wolfish friend on the roof.
What was that?
Says Igor with a start.
Oh, it's probably that new patient,
replies Alucard.
You know how he gets when there's a full moon.
Doesn't sound like him,
says Igor.
I'd know his owl anywhere.
Go and take a look, then,
suggests his master.
Not me,
says the servant.
You go!
In disgust, Alucard takes one of the two lanterns and begins to walk in your direction.
Who is there?
He calls out. Go to page 79. It's me, your friend.
Yeah, exactly. Which
as Alucard draws closer to your hiding place, you stealthily creep around him in a circle until you are very near to the gravesite. Igor is looking out into the darkness, waiting anxiously for Alucard's return. The shovel is on the ground beside him, and you quietly lift it up. The hunchback whirls around to face you, but not soon enough. You bash him squarely over the head with a shovel. He drops to the ground unconscious. You bend down to pit to the shovel. Wait, simple wooden coffin. Next to the open grave and lift the lid. Inside is an attractive girl of your own age dressed in white. The moonlight shines upon her pale face and the girl's eyes open.
Who are you?
She asks in surprise.
There's no time for me to introduce myself.
You whisper.
We've got to get out of here before Alucard comes back.
As you help the stranger from the coffin, the girl leaps at you. You scream as her white fangs find your jugular vein. Too late. You learn the truth of the old saying, let sleeping vampires lie. The end.
That classic old saying.
What was the last choice?
I think the last choice was very long ago at this point.
Yeah. What the heck? No, I mean the last choice would be believing in werewolves, which we don't. So... I don't believe in werewolves.
It's wild. Vampires? Of course. Despite the fact that this vampire did no vampiric things. Like, vampires are supposed to be able to hypnotize you with your own gaze, or their own gaze, rather, and this guy was doing it with a TV. He is a technological vampire. He is not actually vampiric. Or we know this thing is, though.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, do we... Yeah, it looks like the only thing we could do is believe in vampires, or believe in werewolves.
Do you want to do that to its end?
Let's do that to an end, yeah. You turn back to face your friend on the roof. You notice that his hair is growing. You notice hair is growing on his face and hands.
It's over, Alucard!
Cries the poor fellow. You stare in frozen horror as his hair sprouts like weed all over his body. With long, jagged fingernails, he tears open his shirt to reveal a chest covered with thick, brown animal hair. He snarls and growls and bends down into a crouched position, ready to spring at you. You step back and nearly fall off the roof. You glance down fearfully at the ground below. It's a long drop and you could break your legs, but it may be preferable to staying on the roof and facing the werewolf. You might be able to climb in the window to the room you just left, but it's a hallway around the roof. Wait, halfway around the roof. You may not be able to get there before the werewolf attacks. If you decide to jump, page 36. If you decide to try for the open window, page 40.
We've tried jumping to get away from these kinds of things a couple times. Why don't we go back in the window?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's, yeah. You turn and start to run for the window, but you never had a chance. The werewolf is on you in seconds. You feel his hot animal breath on the back of your neck, like, and his claw-like nails digging into your shoulders. He lets out one long, blood-curdling howl and sinks his teeth into your neck. Suddenly, there's a deafening roar. The werewolf's grip on you relaxes. You watch him go limp and fall dead to the ground below. In the open window stands Dr. Alucard holding a pistol and he just fired and he smiles at you.
A silver bullet.
He explains.
It is the only way to kill a werewolf.
You begin to say thanks, but all that comes out of your mouth is an animal-like growl. Look at your hands in disbelief. Tiny hairs are growing all over them. The werewolf is dead, but he lived long enough to spread his dreadful disease to you. Don't worry. It'll be a cause of embarrassment for you. Only a few days every month. Happy howling. The end. Good end. We're werewolves.
We get to be a person and a dog at the same time?
So true. I will say, we can exhaust this path on 36.
Let's do it.
So, let's just do that. Better to take your chances and jump than be ripped to shreds by the monster. With a cry, you leap off the roof and fall down, down, down into the hairy arms of an 8-foot-tall creature. He makes the werewolf on the roof look like a pussycat. As he marches across the front lawn with you, you glance down at his huge feet and realize with a gasp who your captor is. It's Bigfoot! What a discovery! You're gonna be world famous when you prove that Bigfoot really exists. Too bad it does not work out that way. Bigfoot carries you back to his forest lair, and you're never seen from or heard from ever again. The end. Okay.
This is the character that turns up in the post-credit sequence, Bigfoot. It's like, Bigfoot, have you heard about the cryptids initiative?
Yeah, it's a wild one. This is a brutal book. Except when it's extremely, like, we found a success ending, like, immediately, and everything else mm-hmm. is... And everything else is bad, like, or bad ending. It's weird. It's very wild.
Yeah, it really does feel like this path has, you know, complicated, mixed success endings. And perhaps the complete other path, which I don't even know where it eventually happens. Where, like,
I'm looking at my chart.
We explored all of them.
I'm looking at my chart, and there is one decision we could have made back, like, all the way at the beginning. We could have gone to page 9 instead, which seems to be...
By calling out Alucard immediately.
Yeah, make the other path is immediately saying, nope, I'm not the TV repairman, basically. Immediately. That is the other half of the book. Otherwise, we pretty much... nearly. I'm seeing a couple other things we didn't. But, like, that is a darn near exhausted half of the book there, which is wild. God, it was a good old cheesy little classic Monster Mansion experience. I dug it for that, indeed.
Sometimes something doesn't have to be two things secretly layered atop one another. It can just be the thing it said on the cover, and it does that the whole time.
Yeah, it is absolutely a Midnight at a Monster Mansion. It is you can judge this book by its cover. So easily. Such an accurate cover for this book. Well, we didn't see Frank. Well, but I guess maybe that's what the Alucard's monster looked like. Or maybe there is a Frankenstein in the other path. But
I believe there is a Frankenstein on the other path, just because I saw Frankie as a name.
Who knows? Well, all right. Stephen Otfanowski, you did it. You wrote a book about a monster mansion.
We appreciate it.
And I like that about you. I enjoyed it. It was a nice, cheesy, good old classic. It was the monster mash of books. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
It really was the monster mash of books. But hey, I don't know how to segue that into the Patreon
supporter.
The monster
mash of people is the executive producer of this episode, Unknown Chicken.
Wow.
Thank you especially to Unknown Chicken, executive producer of this episode, but of course to all of the people who support over on patreon.com/turntopagecast. Much appreciated to each and all of you, but again, a special thanks to the executive producer of the episode, Unknown Chicken.
Thank you so much, Unknown Chicken. You can now officially say that you are the monster mash of people. That is, like, honestly... I wish that could be my Twitter bio.
Yeah,
but
that's a great title.
Yeah, and big thank you. Big thank you for the support. Big thank you for all the support on patreon.com/turn2pagecast. If you want to help out the show in a free way, we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/@turn2pagecast. Likes, comments, everything. Subscribes over there. Very helpful at kind of spreading the show around, as well as reviews on whatever streaming service you are listening to the show on. That's all incredibly helpful. If you want to send us a message directly, turntopagecast@gmail.com is the way to get in contact. But anyways, that is that. It's going to do it here for this week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.